Now, it's cold, it's miserable, lots of us are snuffling, lots of us have got viruses, some of us will be affected by it, some of us won't. Every single time we come round again to measles epidemic or infection rates rise in Europe, my first thought is, I'm an independent individual human being. I have raised a biological child and two logical children. Sometimes their responses to things were worse than others. Sometimes children around them had a response that was worse than mine, than my kids. The fact is, the notion that we're all the same and that you have to be inoculating children with this MMR jab, this debate is going to go on forever and ever. And always at the back of it in my head is, hold on a minute, there's a drug company that's making lots of money out of it. And I always get really anxious when I hear that now we've got banishing measles from Europe by 2010 may have been dashed by poor vaccination rates in a handful of countries. You cannot have your cake and eat it. You cannot be putting rubbish and carp in food endlessly and looking at the rise of asthma and not an obesity and then turn around and say, look what's happening with measles. You have to approach the whole thing at the health of our children and the health of our society. Now, back in the day, and that's an expression I've learnt from my nearest damn it son, back in the day, children got measles, children got mumps. I am not suggesting that we go backwards where some children, where we have one in 15 children die of it. And that one person in 15 is the one that we have to be looking at and wondering why and dealing with it. But if, as a human being, you decide that you do not want to give your child a vaccination, you should, in a democracy, have that right to say no. There are some children, whether you like it or whether you don't, who have a response to that triple jabbing that is not good for them. We have evidence, however much people say we don't, we have evidence that if a child's immune system is weak, my daughter was one of them, she was very asthmatic as a child, she could not have received that triple vaccine. She couldn't have done it. So I made a calculated decision that I didn't want to go there. And it isn't a decision that's made easily. It's a lonely decision. If you're not part of the herd, if you're not mooing with the other cows or baaing with the other sheep, if you're wanting to stand alone, it's a very lonely business standing under a tree in a field all on your own saying, I don't want to do that. So I want you to phone me and tell me why you decided against the vaccine and how you're coping with people saying, see, you're the reason. You are the reason that we haven't banished measles. I had that said to me by a doctor in Canada. You haven't had your child vaccinated. He left me in the kitchen. He blamed me for the whole of the measles epidemic. 0845 606 0973. Why didn't you have your child vaccinated? How are you coping with the fact that people don't like you for it? How do you like it when the study is documenting that 12,000 cases of European measles in the 2 years spanning 2006 and 2007 means that we are one of the handful of countries in Britain that are not doing it right? Well, maybe there's all sorts of other figures that have been withheld from us, and I don't know what they are because they've been withheld. Measles is a contagious infection caused by a virus. Measles was once common, but because of immunisation, it's now fortunately becoming very rare. I want to know from some kind of expert what measles is and what is in the vaccine and why people have a reaction to it. And really my question is, what is wrong with childhood illnesses? Is it to hark back to the first hour because we don't have parents at home looking after our children? What's going on? Is there something wrong with having mumps? Is there something, most people aren't that one in 15. So if you did not have your child vaccinated, why? 0845 606 0973. Text me. If you decided against having that triple M and are now dealing with people saying that you are responsible for the rise in measles, text me on 84850. We are living in the 21st century. We have running water. Most of us have running water. Most of us live in better situations than we did when I grew up. I grew up in two rooms with rats and mice in the East End of London. I can remember it. And don't email me in. There's a guy who emails me in and says, oh, you just want to be part of the East End. No, I grew up in St. Mark's Street. Thank you very much. Born on Mile End Road. And when I go there now, I look at it and I think, blimey, that's my birthright. And thank God for that. I like it. My feet are rooted in the East End, even though my parents were rehoused in council housing, social housing. The welfare state looked after us poor little immigrant Jews. And we were sent to this lovely house and... there we have it. Asthma runs in my family. Asthma runs in my husband's family. So my daughter was not inoculated. I, however, have talked to many people over the years. 22 years I've lived with my daughter. And over the years, like many, many people have said the same thing. That when we were little... chicken pox, you took your kid to get the chicken pox. You made sure your child was near somebody who had it. My brother got mumps. He lived to tell the tale. I don't know if we had measles. I was sitting next to Nick Owen on the settee at TVAM when his children were incubating rubella, which is measles, and I was pregnant. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be using science and medicine to make everybody healthy, but there's an obsession now with trying to sanitize absolutely everything. And if your child's immune system is strong enough, it will fight and it will grow and it will be strong. Too many antibiotics, we now have MRSA and superbugs. I'm not an expert. This is what I have observed. Phone me, 08456060973, if you chose to stand under the tree in the field outside the herd. Tracy and Olympia, talk to me.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, lovely.
Yes, I'd like to totally agree with you, the fact that immunisation is totally unnecessary, especially in this day and age when hygiene has changed so much since how it used to be. I have four children, the eldest being 12, the youngest being 3. You'll probably hear in the background
listen,
right now.
No, listen, talk to her before you talk to me. Just talk to her for a second.
Right. Okay, darling, come in the kitchen. Got the decorators in. You go and stay with them in the kitchen. There you go. And mummy talk on the phone. There she's gone.
Well done, you. Go on.
My eldest is 12, my youngest is 3. None of them have ever been vaccinated, immunised. And
go on.
They're all very healthy children. They don't have any autoimmune diseases. They don't suffer asthma, eczema. I just think it's total abuse of the immune system.
I want to do this slowly because you're going to have people phoning in saying that you're utterly irresponsible. 12 years ago when you had your first baby, why did you not have them inoculated?
It started off, I went on a short course about, it was a choice, making a choice about vaccination. And it was run by homeopaths.
But why did you go on that course in the first place?
Because I had a feeling inside, I inherently knew that it must be wrong to be putting toxins and poisonous material into a young baby's body.
Right.
Simple as that.
Right.
Mercury, formaldehyde, you know, live viruses are cured in monkeys' kidneys. How can that be right for your child?
Now, are you, by any stretch of the imagination, described as a crank by your friends?
No, they all know me too well now.
But when you made that decision, and when I made that decision 22 years ago, it is about the loneliest decision you're ever going to make.
Oh, absolutely. Even your family, you'll have people standing up saying, why aren't you being irresponsible? You've got the doctors, you've got the health authorities. You know, you just have to take the bull by the horns and confront that. On a daily basis, people at the school would frown upon me as if my child was in some way going to infect their child by not being vaccinated. But I'm a very strong-willed person anyway. And from what I learned from my first son being born, I decided, yeah, I want to take this further and investigated it a bit more and went on to college and trained to become a homeopath.
Really?
Yes. And it all came from initially just thinking, well, do I want to do this? And it all started with that very first thought. And you know what? The more you investigate it, the more you find out about it. And anyone right now, this moment in time, can go on the internet, they can go on sites, they can find out the dangers of vaccination and make their own informed decision. I'm not saying that for everybody it's going to be as straightforward and a straight cut as I was able to make that decision myself. But I just knew from the beginning it's the wrong
But this
thing
is fascinating. Tracy, let me ask you this. When measles, if there's a case of measles at the kids' school,
yeah.
or if there's a case of mumps or chicken pox, what do you do?
Because I say, great, come on, kids, let's go get it, because children get childhood diseases for a reason. It's to boost their immune system so that later on in life, when they come in contact with those diseases, it doesn't affect them so severely. And that is why they're called childhood diseases. The only reason children get really, really ill and perhaps, you know, suffer serious side effects are, A, if their immune system is not strong enough to fight off the virus, or B, if they're being suppressed by drugs or in some other way, you know, suppressant drugs or given too much antibiotics or...
No, you see, Tracy, people will hear what you're saying and they'll say, it's all right for you.
Yeah.
You know, you, as you've quite rightly said, your kids, thank God, touch wood, and I'm touching it as we speak.
Yeah.
They have run through this.
Yeah.
But you are saying that it is an individual decision, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I would never, even in my job, I would never say to people, you mustn't do that. I would give them the facts and say, this is what I've come across. Go on these websites. You know, there's thousands out there. Do your own investigations. Don't take my word for it. You know, everything I say, it may be my truth, it may not be yours, but you must investigate it yourself and don't take the easy way out. I've had doctors ringing me at home. I've had health visitors having angry conversations with me. And now what I say to those people whose minds I'm not going to change anyway, that's fine. I just say, well, it is my choice and I am making an informed decision. And every parent has the right to make an informed decision. Unfortunately, not many people do want to do that.
Tracy, I think with you inspiring them, they may jolly well want to after that. Fantastic. 2:15. I know I shouldn't be biased, so I talk to Alan Joyce and travel instead. Go on.
Join in London's biggest conversation.
Call Jenny Barnett.
0845 6060 973. Text 84850.
You just heard from Tracy, four kids became a homeopath on the back of thinking about whether or not she should have a first child immunised. And this is on the back of us being the dirty land, really. We are the dirty land of Europe. A new study has documented that we are now up there with the best of them, with more cases than measles than we should have. They wanted to banish measles from Europe by 2010. There are many other ways of doing it rather than jabbing people. And I am a responsible parent. This is from Merrigan. Oh, this is from Kay. Forgive me. That was the email address. My son was fully immunised against MMR. I did not let my younger daughter have the MMR booster. They had been fine until this summer. My fully immunised son caught mumps mildly, and everyone thought that it was a dead cert that my daughter would get it worse. Guess what? She didn't get a single symptom. Interesting. The doctors did not know what to do with the mumps. It had been so long since they'd seen it. They had to look up on the computer or in their manuals to answer my questions about incubation or staying out of circulation. Now, you heard what our young homeopath just said. There are always two sides. You've got to make an informed decision, and your children will not be the same as anybody else's children. But I can remember my brother getting mumps, and I can remember him sitting in bed with swollen glands, and I can remember him being jelly and ice cream, and I can remember running around and not getting mumps, and I can remember my mother saying, we've got to be careful because he's a boy, and you know what happens with mumps? I didn't know what happened with mumps. Who knew? It was something to do with the testicular region. But the fact is that the more we sanitise society and the more we become absolutely, what's the word when you are hypocritical about stuff? You cannot, on the one hand, support how we're letting our children run riot and not converse with each other and not read and not play and all the other stuff that we're doing, and then get up in high dudgeon when we don't put drugs into their body. Stick the kids out running in air. Ban cars on the road. Make them have 6 hours a day PE at school. Give them an hour every single day where they're running around and playing rounders and climbing walls, and not just a few. Not just my, you know, my daughter's beautiful boy, Nathan. He's a footballer. He gets an infection. He falls over. He gets better because he's always running and jumping and doing star jumps or whatever you do. We have to look at the source of this, and it's not good. You just heard that clip from Nick Ferrari's programme. If you scaremonger, people don't know how to make clear decisions about something. Do you want your kid to have an inoculation or don't you? Don't make people feel guilty if they make a decision that they don't want to have drugs put into them. When I was out in America 18 months ago, the only cases of polio that were coming across were the ones with the children that had the polio vaccine. And most doctors out in the States were not letting their children have it. What does that say to you? It's empirical. Empirical wisdom, experience. 0845 606 0973. How do you make a decision on behalf of your children? John in Epsom, talk to me.
Afternoon, Jenny.
Hi, lovely.
I'm not a medical expert, but I listen to the radio and I listen to LBC along with your competitors quite a lot. And every single medical expert that you've ever had on LBC has always said that the NMR is a good thing, and that all of the evidence against it has been refuted.
Yeah.
So
does that make it right?
I pretty much think it does, actually, yeah.
How come?
Well, you sound like... When you say my four kids or this lady's four kids were fine because they didn't have it, You sound like one of these people who said, my auntie Flo lived to be 110, and she smoked 100 cigarettes a day. There's always going to be someone... But in general...
Wasn't Auntie Flo allowed to do that? And was
she was, but would she have done it, and would you have let her do it, and would the world have been happy for her to do it if we knew now...
What we knew then?
If we knew then what we know now.
But that's precisely why I didn't want my kids or my granddaughter, and I don't know what Zoe's choice is going to be, but that's precisely because we do know what we know now that I don't want to go anywhere near drugs. You know, I'm 60 in a couple of about 8 weeks' time, and people say to me, oh, would you go on HRT? And would you do this and would you do that? No. Would I have plastic surgery? No. And I'm not unusual in that, John. It's just that the media and the drug companies would like to make me unusual.
But do you not feel that all this information that's out there, yeah, it is being weighted in a certain direction?
To frighten us.
I don't think it is to frighten you. One of the guys on James O'Brien's show this week had written a book called Bad Science.
Right.
And he went on about all the things. Like, your previous lady was a homeopath, and all due respect, the guy talking about bad science was talking about all kinds of things which people regard as remedies, and he, as a doctor, was laughing at
Listen, let me put this to you. John, let me put this to you, and it's a good point, and I take your point. But let me put this to you. My nan, if you had an ear infection, would have put salt in a sock, heated it up somehow, because she didn't have microwaves, and stick it behind the ear, and good golly, Miss Molly, that ear infection would slow down in some way. Now, there's not a lot of science in it, but it blooming well worked.
You don't know there's not a lot of science in it, Jenny. It might be down to the heat on the back of the ear.
Of course it is. But you said it yourself, John. Evidence, scientific evidence, and the media, all of us, we all weigh things in a particular way so that we come up with the answer that we want to come up with. If you are funding a vaccine as a drug company, you are going to want to frighten people into having to take it because somebody's got to make the money out of it. And it's all about, in the end, it's all down to economics. And I'm delighted, actually, that you listen to LBC. It's wonderful because it means that you are listening to both sides. Bad science... Absolutely. And, you know, Darwin was born 100 years ago this week, and there's a lot of people who thought Darwin had it wrong. Things change, John. Amanda in Haywards Heath, talk to me.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I've got 8 children.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Are you still sane?
No, not at all.
Go on.
And I started off, I was quite young, I was 20 when I had my first, so I started off doing everything I was supposed to do and presented my daughter for all her vaccinations. And she had everything, and my second daughter had everything. And then my son was born, and he reacted very badly to the first what was then, I think, the double or triple jab. So he didn't have any more, although he did then have the MMR. Well, he had some more, but he didn't have any more whooping cough. He then had the MMR. Mm. And then when he was 3, he was diagnosed as autistic. And so I got quite involved in vaccines because I wasn't sure. My paediatrician was quite sure that it was the cause of autism. But, I mean, I didn't know. And from then on, I decided not to have my children vaccinated. And I just thought I'd just better be on the safe side. My paediatrician was completely in agreement. She thought it was great. The GPs weren't. They were always very unhappy that I didn't have them vaccinated.
Why? Why, though? What is it that the GPs won't take on board that the paediatrician did?
I don't know. I mean, my paediatrician's great. She's a very holistic paediatrician. She was the sort of big chief consultant down at a hospital on the South Coast. So she was a very good, very, very good paediatrician. But she very much believed in just sort of holistically looking after the child. She didn't like giving drugs for things if you didn't need
But you know, people do throw guilt things at you, don't they? They must say to you, it's all right for you, Amanda. How do you cope with that?
They probably do. Well, the main thing I found is my eldest, who had everything, she actually had a really bad case of whooping cough about 2 years ago. And we did get quite a lot of things thrown at us then, but she was the one that had been vaccinated.
Right.
None of my other children picked it up.
So what would you say? I mean, it's not my job to say to people, don't do it. It's not my job to do any of that. But you're allowed to have your say. What would you say to people as a mum of 8 little lives that you are deeply responsible for? What would you say to people who are in two minds about it?
Well, I'd never recommend having children vaccinated, and people think I'm very strange. All my younger children that haven't been vaccinated have been very, very healthy. The youngest had measles about 3 months ago, and he was fine. He wasn't very well for about a week, 10 days, and then he was fine. And none of my others picked it up. So I think they must have a certain amount of natural immunity, and I'm far, far happier for them to have developed that natural immunity than to be constantly being filled with artificial substances.
Well, thank you so much, my darling. That's Amanda in Haywards Heath. Just was listening to your show. If people actually took the time to look at what's in vaccines, they would think twice about giving them to their children. As well as not being 100% effective, they also have cancer-causing agents. Also, a child's immune system takes approximately 2 to 3 months to fully get up and running from birth. Also, if we look at the countries who have the highest populated vaccinated, you will notice is that they have the most allergies. I'm not totally against immunizations, but we should be giving children at least a year to develop their own immune system to deal with the onslaught. I didn't say that. I wish you'd given me your name. There's a third way, says somebody else who's nameless. Why not allow children to have the jabs individually? Why not? It's 2:30.
M3, LBC 97.3.
It's 2:31. In an hour's time, I'm talking to Colin Salmon, that suave actor. Somebody thought he was going to be Doctor Who. Somebody thought he was going to be Bond. We don't care what he is, as long as he comes in to LBC 97.3. And he is. He's going to be just slouching in to Leicester Square in 1 hour's time. I've just got one or two announcements before I take your calls. And there are many of you who want to talk about this measles thing. I get so impassioned about it because I think it's about freedom. And I think that self-responsibility for your body and your children and health is top of the list. You know, early to bed, early to rise makes you healthy, wealthy and wise. The four square of life, health, wealth, love and perfect self-expression. Where do you go from there? About being healthy. And you have to make a decision, don't you, on behalf of your children. It's the worst decision to have to make, should you, shouldn't you. It's all right when you're making it for yourself. But I want you to tell me why you think we need to have this measles jab and why, I've got several things I'm going to read out in a minute, why you think it's not necessary. 0845 6060 973, and I will be talking to a doctor in a moment and somebody who is pro-jabs. I just have to make two announcements. The audience with Jenny Barnett. Now, I'm afraid most of the second row is already gone, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But it's with me Thursday the 26th of March, 2009, 8:15, Fairfield Hall, Croydon. At Fairfield Halls, Croydon. I'm told by Steve Allen it's a great venue to play. I need you to be there so I can play it. It's 020-86-88-92-91, and it will be on the website. Blast, I missed that. Go and find my presenter page, and then you can get the details and then book your tickets. The reason the second row's gone is because Nylonsky have booked it. I would be grateful if you give a little reminder on your show that Breastfest 09 is taking place at Westminster Central Hall. Put it in your diary, 31st of January. It's a music concert to raise funds towards mobile breast screening units across the UK. And as you know, Nylonsky are one of the headline bands, and Havelong with all the other bands appeared, given their time, obviously free. Now, what you go to MySpace, you can find Nylonsky's space. You can get them on there. What I love is that when we first started talking about this band, they were this little band that didn't do anything. Now they've just been signed by FM Records. Mazel tov. Fantastic. And their debut EP is going to be released on the 26th of January. Well done, Nylonsky. Fantastic. So the 31st of January, if you want to go to the Breastfest, it should be really, really good. Now, that's my little announcement. We'll come back to the discussion. Geraldine and Hampstead, thank you very much for holding the line. Yeah, you are absolutely pro the jabs, are you?
I'm not absolutely pro or anti anything, but before I talk about that, can I say,
yeah,
I think your radio show is wonderful, but isn't it a little irresponsible to read out a text from somebody you don't know at all?
I keep saying, you know,
Please let me finish.
Go on.
To say that the vaccinations have cancer-causing substances. Because you will scare new mothers.
Well, no, listen.
You don't know who wrote it.
I don't. Well, no, absolutely not. But it's an articulate email. And I do. You're absolutely right, Geraldine. I think people have to give their names. But she was, whoever has written this was the second person to say it. You heard a homeopath saying, if you go to websites, you will find exactly what this email has been written. But I take your point. I don't know that it's irresponsible, but I take your point. Anyway, please continue.
Okay. The only other thing I want to say, I think it is the luxury. It is a luxury that people cannot vaccinate their children because the majority do.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Friends who had polio because they weren't vaccinated. I have friends whose children died of whooping cough in Eastern Europe because there were no vaccinations. These are very nasty illnesses.
Mm, mm. Are you a medic, Geraldine?
My husband's a medic, my daughter's a medic, and my grandfather was a medic.
Okay.
So, and the only other thing I wanted to say was it's not the drug companies. Of course the drug companies are pushing it, but it's the doctors, it's the GPs, who see the children that aren't vaccinated that do catch the illnesses.
But do you see, this? I find this fascinating. Is this a mindset? I don't come from medicine, you do. I don't like anything to do with allopathic medicine, and you don't have an issue with it. Now, do you think it's a mindset that cannot be changed?
I think that science has proved that more children survive childhood since the vaccinations have been enforced.
Yeah, is that
strongly?
Strongly.
I'm sorry for the children that do get whooping cough because they were vaccinated, and the seventh one that wasn't vaccinated didn't get whooping cough. But I do think that modern medicine saves lives. And I repeat what I said, I think it is a luxury of the few, the middle class few, and I could be more middle class if you tried. It's a luxury of the middle class few to enjoy homeopathy and all the other things that are wonderful.
Yes, but why
alongside regular medicine.
But and what, if you, yes, I think that's right. I think it has to be complementary, and I think the debate has to continue. Because if we're looking at countries that aren't as luxurious as ours, what do we do with them?
The children are dying from whooping cough and measles,
but that's,
or going blind.
But that's actually, Geraldine, my problem with the hypocrisy of it. Oh, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
If the medical profession absolutely cared, it would be sending drugs freely to countries where they need it. If we're having to pay for these drugs, where is it? It's not an altruistic thing that's happening.
No, it's not. I'm talking about this country.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the notion of a drug-fueled world, where if we're going to be using drugs, and if some of them are better than others, and some are beneficial and some aren't, why isn't it free?
Because big business isn't free. Because that's the real world. Sadly, it's wrong. I think 100% it's wrong. But it's not free.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I'm taking Geraldine's point. Do you know what? I might not read out your emails ever again unless you give me your name. I think she's made an absolutely important point, and I don't want to scaremonger. Just give me an initial. Say who you are. And then Geraldine, and she's put a finger on it. I think she's absolutely right. Rob in Bermondsey, please speak to me.
Good afternoon, Jenny.
Good afternoon, sir.
Your last, very last point with that lady is, the answer to that is it's a geopolitical thing. It's got nothing to do with the facts of medicine and measles and how measles affects individuals and indeed how the vaccine affects individuals. Let me just give you a few very basic facts for your listener. My background, I'm quite happy to tell you what I do. I was a paediatrician for a while and now I became a GP.
Right.
But I also do some acupuncture and some complementary medicine. So I'm kind of open to most things and most arguments and listen to most points that I can during my day. The facts of measles are that most people's experience of measles, if their child gets measles, is that it's a mild illness that gives them fever and a rash, and mum has to take a few days off work to look after their child, and they get better. That's because that's what happens with most children with measles.
Right.
Some children, however, get very, very, very serious complications of measles. And because the measles rate in the UK is lower, although it is now on the increase, most people's experience is of the mild illness. All you need to do is meet one family whose normal child, they took the decision not to vaccinate their child, they got measles, and they had a devastating complication such as inflammation of the brain, which we call encephalitis,
or
they died, then your opinion changes.
Not necessarily.
It may change your...
But you see, Rob, let me just interrupt you.
It's a different level.
I completely take what you're saying. But I can counter that with gave my son MMR and then watched him shut down over a week as autism took hold, went from chatty little boy to no speech at all, now lives in his own world. I live with guilt. That's from Paul. Now, I can counter an emotional argument.
Of course, I completely appreciate that. And people are, and they still are very worried about the links between MMR and autism. And even though, as again one of your listeners said, every GP who comes on the phone says that all of that evidence has been disproved, it still lingers as a concern. And I meet parents every day who are concerned about that. And it's
what do you say to them then? What's your advice?
I think that what I take them through is the kind of facts that I started off this conversation with. The other fact I just want to throw in, and I know you're busy, is that...
No, you can talk.
With vaccinations, some children don't respond to a vaccination. So some people phone up and they say, look, my child had the vaccine and still got measles. That's because of the science of the vaccine. After one vaccine of MMR, about 90% of children will mount a response to protect them from measles. After the booster, so the second vaccine of MMR, that figure goes to about 95-96%.
But
about 4% of children who have had both doses will still be vulnerable.
But there are those that aren't. And if you were my doctor... Oh, are you sneezing?
Yeah, I'm still there.
No, God bless you, my darling. Gesundheit. How lovely to have you sneezing on air. If you were my doctor and I brought in my daughter, I would want to know what side effects were of these things. And then I would then have to make my decision based on that, wouldn't I?
Of course.
And that's what I think.
The other complicating factor slightly, Esme, as you said through your show, you can make an autonomous, informed decision for yourself once you're over 16. When you're making it for your child, it's a completely different thought process, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. But Paul has said... Paul, God bless you again, my darling. You're sneezing on the truth!
I know, everyone's giving me a cold. You know, people cough in my face and I get a cold.
Lucy, but there's a point. I'm going to ask you something here. Have you had the flu jab?
Yes, I have.
And still you've got the cold?
Oh, I've got a cold, but I haven't got the flu. I'm not in bed. I'm able to get out for a week.
Oh, yeah, but why...
The vaccine protects you from influenza. It doesn't protect you from colds.
You see, would there ever be... I mean, you say that you give acupuncture and that you give all sorts of complementary things. Why is measles in the 21st century such a hot topic?
Because the I think one of the problems, Jenny, the honest problem, is people like, because the measles, mumps and rubella comes as one, people think about each of the individual diseases. Now, rubella really is only a problem in early pregnancy, as you talked about on your show. And mumps, okay, it can lead to some complications for boys with their testicles if they get involved. But measles is the one that really does kill, and it does kill children. And it's just because the numbers in Western Europe and the States and Australia are lower that we don't see this so often. In fact, a few years ago, there were children dying in Ireland of measles. I think there were two children died in Ireland.
And what causes measles?
Country.
What causes
well,
it?
Measles is caused by a virus, and it's spread by coughing, it's spread by sneezing, it's spread by close contact.
So let me ask you this. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to squeeze it out of you. Yeah. If it's viral... If yes. children's immune systems are strong, God bless you again, on the truth, if it's a viral thing and children's yes. immune systems are strong, what's the problem? Is it because our children's immune systems are now so shot that they cannot deal with an ordinary childhood illness?
No, I don't believe that to be true. You have three children in the class, one gets a cold. That child sneezes in his class over his two classmates. One of them may get a cold and one of them may not. But all three of those children are perfectly healthy. That's just the nature of disease.
I didn't say that, though. I'm asking you as a medic, and you've got an ology. Yeah. And I've only got half an ology.
I have got an ology.
Yeah. And an allergy, it sounds like, too. But if all three children's immune system were very, very strong, they would deal with it differently, wouldn't they? Who's done that scientific test?
Well, I can't quote you a scientific paper about that, but it's an observation, isn't it? That people seem to think that the sanitized country and the sanitized parts that we live in is weakening children. That's why there's more eczema, there's more allergies and this kind of thing. It's a theory. It's not
science.
You can dig out papers to prove that. You can dig out papers to disprove that. But that's the same with modern medicine. But you have to weigh this in the balance. And my ending argument really would be it's a numbers game. And the numbers are that most children who get measles will get over it. A very few minority get very serious complications.
That's what needs to be said, and I bless you. Dr. Rob in Bermondsey, and actually, he has to go because we're going to travel, but that is the kind of doctor you want, someone who will talk to you, not frighten you, not put messages up on pieces of paper which saying you are irresponsible if you go your way. Brilliant Dr. Rob there. It is now 3:15. Travel with the lovely Alan Joyce. It's 2:50. The body is a really delicate organism. The tiniest bit of something can make you go weird. A little tiny bit of caffeine and you can be running up and down the stairs. A little bit of, potassium, I don't know, whatever they put in these drinks, can make you itch. The body is a finely tuned animal. We are animals. Obi in Richmond was looking at his sister's London County Council Public Health Department immunisation record card from 1966. Between 2 and 4 months of age, she was injected for diphtheria, tetanus and whooping cough. 2 to 4 months of age. 8 weeks. That little tiny body was injected for diphtheria, tetanus and whooping cough. Between 6 and 8 months, she was injected for poliomyelitis. 15 months diphtheria again, 16 months a smallpox test. 5 years diphtheria, tetanus and poliomyelitis. So my question is, says Obi, when did the immunisation for the measles and mumps start? I know that I had an allergic reaction to whooping cough as a baby, so I had no further jabs, not even the BCG at secondary school. It's all government spin, says Obi. Children don't need the triple jab. And Helen says, if there's such a fear of measles epidemic because of lack of take-up of the MMR, why don't they make it easier to have the jabs individually? That way, surely more children would be vaccinated. There seems to be an agenda for reaching a target to wipe out measles by a certain date, but at what cost to individuals? She concludes, it's so difficult for young mums now. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. It's such a minefield and you have to live with the consequences of your decision, whichever way you vote. And I think the reason that you fill up my telephone, I mean, there's no calls being able to come in at the minute because you're phoning, is because there isn't a definitive answer. There is no absolute answer. As a parent, whether you are male or female, you have to make a decision based on your family history. Now, I took my daughter who kept getting ear infections when she was a kid, and one of the doctors said to me, if you do not give her an asthma spray and do not do this, that and the other, she will die within a week. You don't say that to a young mum. Well, I mean, I was an old mum, but she was only a little person. And since I had asthma, my mother-in-law died of asthma, and I've told you this before. That doctor didn't take into account where I was coming from. I required him to look in my child's ear and give me some indication of what was going on so I could make an informed decision. I, however, am not like Yasmin in Chelsea. What would you have done in that situation?
I'm just wondering how much longer your programme is on air, because I give hundreds of MMR vaccines and all the work that we do in general practice is probably being undone by your programme in 15 minutes, and I think it's very irresponsible.
Why?
It doesn't seem to be based on any facts. I'm very sorry to hear that your child had autism, but if you...
Somebody else's child had autism.
Somebody else's child. I'm very sorry to hear that, but if they read the Wakefield study in The Lancet in 1998, Dr. Wakefield actually said that he didn't prove an association between MMR and...
Well, he wasn't really allowed to have his say, was he, Yasmin? I mean, it was kind of...
I think he said it recently in court.
But you're not...
I know. He's been tried for medical negligence, and I think that your programme is extremely irresponsible.
Let me ask you this before you go on with that. How, if you are so certain that your MMR jab is correct, how can 15 minutes on LBC 97.3 rock what people are thinking?
Well, you'd be surprised, and at the moment we are expecting a measles epidemic, and it's because of people like Ken Livingstone, people like yourself. You talk about young mothers who have a very difficult decision to make, and I agree, they do, and I spend a lot of time talking to them, but people like you don't really make it any easier for them. And you were just talking about somebody with an ear infection. Well, I've been talking to somebody I know who had a child who woke up with the contents of their ear on their pillow, and that was down to the rubella virus. So you really need to think about what you're doing here and why you're doing it.
You see, I could argue, Yasmin, that you have to think about it too. I'm allowed.
I do every day.
And so do I, as a parent. And that's what I'm saying.
I'm a parent, and one of my children has had 3 doses of measles, and, you know, there's no problem with it.
But if she's...
You could have 100 doses of measles and it would do nothing. You know, there's no problem.
But why then give them the vaccine if they get the measles? I never can understand that.
We don't give vaccines to measles to children who have had measles. They need a combined vaccine of measles, mumps and rubella. If they have one dose, the studies show that they possibly need to be revaccinated within a couple of years to make sure that that protection carries on through life.
Do you not think, though, that as a parent, I am allowed to make a decision about what I put in my kid's body?
Yes, and do you not think that a parent whose child has cancer and is having chemotherapy, has a much lower resistance to things like measles, mumps and rubella, has a right for their child to
Absolutely.
Go to a normal primary school, but because there may be one child in the class, such as yours, who is lucky to have decent immunity, that child might get measles, mumps or rubella and die.
Yasmin, my daughter did not have decent immunity, which is exactly why I didn't have
inoculated. We wait until your child is well and fit enough to give the MMR.
But I don't want my child to be fiddled with all sorts of stuff that's in a vaccine. Now,
Could you tell me what's in the vaccine?
What do you think
is in the vaccine? Well, then how can you make a decision for your child? And you're talking about parents having to make decisions for the child, but if you go into any secondary school, which I have done, and we've been asked to vaccinate kids against MMR, they all say they want it. If you deny immunisation, you're denying health. health to your child and other children.
No, no, my child is absolutely strong and healthy in many ways.
Well, you're one of the lucky ones, aren't you? If your kid had chemotherapy and that sort of thing,
Yasmin, will you stop?
You would want them protected, wouldn't you?
Stop being so dramatic about it. If you disallow...
I think you need to think what you're doing in this programme. You're doing
absolutely
a lot of damage.
And I
you're
think
doing a lot of damage.
Well, maybe I don't
think
so.
You don't know
so
what you're talking about. You can't even tell me what's in an MMR vaccine, so you shouldn't be talking about
well,
it.
Well, I can get it. Shall I get it off the internet, Yasmin?
Yeah, get it off the internet. Find a reliable source, such as the Department of Health.
Really?
And then I might listen to you, yeah.
The Department of Health frightens people. Thanks, Yasmin, for your call. I think it's quite interesting. When I was told I had a high blood sugar, I was told in that room I had diabetes. I don't have diabetes. I had high blood sugar. My blood sugar's normal now, but they frighten me, which is what people like Yasmin does. This is LBC 97.3.